Republican Peter King's congressional hearing on American Muslims and terrorism is living up to the expectation that it would be controversial and emotional. King opened the hearing by saying homegrown radicalization is part of al-Qaeda's strategy, and the country shouldn't bow to political correctness by avoiding the subject.
There is nothing radical or un-American in holding these hearings. Indeed, congressional investigation of Muslim American radicalization is the logical response to the repeated and urgent warnings which the Obama administration has been making in recent months.
But the White House has also been saying broad statements about a religion may play into the hands of terrorists. And the only Muslim in Congress, Keith Ellison of Minnesota, testified that he agreed that while homegrown extremism is a concern, he disagreed with the committee's focus on just the Muslim community, becoming very emotional, telling the story of a New York City paramedic and police cadet, a Muslim, killed on 9/11.
Mohammed Salman Hamdani was a fellow American who gave his life for other Americans. His life should not be identified as just a member of an ethnic group or just a member of a religion, but as an American who gave everything for his fellow Americans.
David Farenthold is Washington Post congressional reporter. He's at Capitol Hill. And from what we could see on TV, David, very emotional, and Ellison seemed to want to cover his face. He didn't seem to want to go there.
Certainly was. Ellison had sort of an opening statement. This is sort of an unusual arrangement. He was not there as a congressman, as part of the committee, but as a witness. He was called as a witness to sort of speak sort of from his perspective about American Muslims. And he gave an opening statement that hit a lot of themes people were expecting. As you talked about, he was concerned about this community being singled out. He talked about all the plots that have been disrupted by tips from within the Muslim community. But then, as you said, at the very end, he said, look, I'm going to talk about one specific case. And just as soon as he got into it, talking about Mr. Hamdani, broke down and at times seemed unable to continue.
Yeah. Well, and as you said, he spoke about tips from the Muslim community. The name of the hearing is The Extent of Radicalization in the American Muslim Community and That Community's Response. And so on that part, he was saying he felt the community responded. Others didn't. There was emotional testimony from a Somali American from Minnesota whose nephew was radicalized, killed when he went back to Somalia. And this man, the uncle, made the point Peter King said he would make in these hearings. And this father said he felt intimidated by other Muslims into not cooperating.
He did. There were two particular stories from people whose relatives had been radicalized in the U.S. and who had, in one case, a father from Tennessee whose son had been radicalized at college, had gone to Yemen and come back and actually shot a U.S. soldier and killed him at a recruiting station. And then Mr. Behe from Minnesota, who talked about his nephew and a number of other Somali youths in Minnesota who'd been radicalized and traveled back to Somalia to join an Islamic militia and were killed there. So the thing to remember, though, is that King's the stated purpose of this hearing is very broad. Let's examine radicalization within all American Muslims and the broader American Muslim community's response. But the evidence has been very anecdotal. He's called two people these two that I just described, whose relatives were radicalized, but there's been no broader effort by King to sort of figure out how many cases are there like this. You know, are these two just isolated examples, or are these signs of some broader problem? I think that's been the surprise to me, is the disconnect at this point between the scope of the hearing, the stated purpose of the hearing, and the sort of evidence produced so far.
Well, as you said, there was the one uncle who said that he felt intimidated by other Muslims into not cooperating, but also there was another witness, Dr. Judy Jasser, I believe, who said he's never met a Muslim who wouldn't cooperate with law enforcement if they see or hear something suspicious. And we also spoke yesterday to the Los Angeles County Sheriff, who said he feels the same way. So am I hearing from you that so far you're not hearing a lot of details of people feeling that the community isn't cooperating?
No. I mean, the evidence we've heard that the community didn't want to cooperate came mostly from those two people whose family members had been radicalized, who did describe their frustration, especially Mr. Behe in Minnesota, trying to get people to recognize the problem that was in their midst, trying to get help finding out where his nephew was.
This is Somali, yes.
There's been no sense of, okay, let's try to figure out across the broader community what are the numbers that describe this broader community. And frankly, a lot of what the congressmen on the committee have been doing is debating whether there should be a hearing at all. Just more that, so there's sort of equal parts substance and sort of debating Congress's own purpose in calling this hearing.
Well, and we should just underscore that Peter King himself had been saying that 80 to 85% of mosques in the country are led by radical imams, but a fact check found that that wasn't true, and he's told the Washington Post he's not going to use that statistic anymore. But just briefly, we have just a minute or so here. What about his own background? Peter King was a supporter of the Irish Republican Army. He says there's no comparison between homegrown American Muslim terrorists and Irish rebels. He says because the IRA never attacked the U.S., but he's been kicked out of courtrooms in Britain because the British say he supported what they viewed as a terrorist who attacked them. Was he asked about that today?
That has not come up today at all. I think, you know, him being in control of who gets to ask the questions, that sort of protects him a little bit from that. And I think his response has been, as you said, that he still saw them as different situations because the Irish were fighting for, the Irish Republican Army was fighting for sort of an ethnic and a cause to rule their own homeland, and that's different than Al-Qaeda. He also, should be noted, was instrumental in helping bring about the Irish peace process when that happened in the 90s.
Yes. Yeah. Well, David Farenthold, again, a congressional reporter for The Washington Post. How long do you think these hearings will take? It seems to be a pattern now of people saying there is radicalization, maybe not as much testimony to the community not cooperating, but how much longer and what do you think the conclusion will be in just the 30 seconds or so we have?
I think in terms of what we know about radicalization among Muslims in the U.S., we're not going to know a lot more than we did at the beginning. But I think the purpose of this hearing was maybe for Congress to sort of figure out what role they should play and what questions they should ask. Maybe we'll be a little closer to an answer on that.
David Farenthold, Washington Post, thanks so much.
Thank you.